That time the Lord led me into a very special church where there was good teaching and good Bible study and good body life. Linda was in that church. And so he was gracious early on in teaching me how to cope with the single life as a Christian. I have a son, and he was 8 at the time of my conversion, as I said, which was about 1975, through the Billy Graham TV ministry. So I'm a TV convert. Yeah. And I might just add, I want to keep this part brief, but I want to just add that the Lord had been working and drawing me to himself over a period of some months. And so when I accepted the Lord, which was at the end of one of the crusades on TV, I had actually been watching the crusades for about 6 months. Every time one would come on, I wouldn't tell my friends, but I was going to go home and watch Billy Graham. And I'll tell you, the Lord used him. It was his style and his authority that appealed to me. And over those months, I seriously considered the claims of Christ. And thankfully, when I was converted then, I had made a clear decision in terms of a 180-degree turn. And the most significant thing that happened that night was that I opened the Bible, which I had already pulled off the shelf during these months. And, of course, I understood what I read. And from that night until this day, the Word of God has been so very special to me. I don't go much for bumper stickers, but if I had one, it would say I'd rather be studying the Word of God. As I said, my son was 8 at the time, and we began our pilgrimage of walking through the Christian life as mother and son, and he subsequently became a Christian too. Let me get a feel for where we are here. How many are single parents, never married, or single parents first? Okay, divorced and never married. Okay, good. The material that I have to share, we're going to need to buckle our seatbelts in a minute, and that's why you have such a handout. So if we don't get finished, you can take it and peruse it at your leisure. It is an assimilation of material over the years, much from experience and much from the Word of God. So you'll see scriptures integrated. And part of what I'll be doing is flipping up on the overhead scriptures. And I've been asking the Lord to just let these scriptures indwell you, let the Word of God richly indwell your heart so that it will give you direction, okay, as a single person. And we're going to cover 5 areas of life. We're using the format of strategy for one main reason, and that is to give you an idea that we can have an active approach rather than a passive approach to the single life. Now, the principles that we'll see and the truths that we will see, we need to obey because they're right and because they're truth. But I'd like to add sort of a secondary motivation to you, to your thinking, by using this idea of strategy, and that is, we're in the battle, and we need to win. And so, as your definition suggests there, strategy is, find out where I'm going to drop these, the science or art of skillful planning and action so as to place one in a position of advantage. Now, that's where we need to be when we're in the battle. It's a military term. And I think that some of these ideas and some of these principles, and I do want you to keep on the forefront that you obey them because it's right, but then if you add the idea that this will help me win and cope and make it and be radiant, as Elizabeth Ann has been telling us we ought to be, then this would help. The frame here, I'll just give you a little background. This is supposed to represent a chessboard, which is, as you know, a game of strategy. And we have a queen, which is the most powerful piece on the chessboard in terms of mobility. and movement. I don't know that much about chess, but I found out that much so I could tell you. Okay? So we're into that kind of idea, though. We're going to cover five areas: personal strategies, interpersonal strategies. We'll be looking at professional strategies, practical strategies, which is your basic, how do I get through a day? And, life is so daily. And impact strategies, which is how can we make an impact in our sphere of influence and serve God and follow Him. Some of it we'll cover rather rapidly, and I don't have overheads for all of it, so you can read it at your leisure. But in the area of personal strategies, and again, we've heard a lot of this all week, and not all of it was new to you anyway. But we are talking about our spiritual life, our abiding and devotion to Christ, which comes through these three methods, particularly Bible study, prayer life, and fasting. And we've mentioned that a couple of times. I don't share this with everyone, but I will share it with you that I have integrated fasting into my personal life on a routine basis. Not an Esther fast, but I drink water or occasionally juices, that kind of thing. But being, you know, rooted and grounded, living the vine life, as we've heard it referred to, so that when we're faced with life's decisions and moving with in the way that God wants us to move, we don't have to stop and think too much because we're already in tune, you see. The other part about personal strategies is that we have some direction, some purpose, and some planning and some goals. And we've touched on that in a couple of other seminars as well. Included in this handout is some material specifically related to that. And again, this is not a class on planning and setting goals, but in order to find out our directions as single women, I do think it's important, as we've heard earlier, that we need to know where we're going. If we don't, we'll surely get there. And then personal development, okay, which has to do with our person and our grooming and those sorts of things. That I'm sure you've been to seminars on those too. But we'll touch on that. Now, here are some scriptures, and as I said, we're going to flip them up here mainly so that they become a part of you, if they aren't already, in terms of our devotion to the Lord and this first commandment here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then there's some other verses in spirit and so forth. But in any way, sold out to the Lord, okay? That kind of devotion. These are all, I searched hard to make sure now I had all the ones that applied to women. Okay? Woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Devotion of Mary. Well, you're familiar with all these, so I won't dwell on too much. Anointed the feet of Jesus. Ministering to Jesus. Okay. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. Again, bringing out the point that women are vital in our ministry to Christ and in his work. I don't think we could miss that if we look at the entire counsel of God. And then, we're all familiar with this, where is our first priority anyway. Now we get all that squared away, and I think we can move on to other areas of our life. Loving God, knowing God, seeking God. Scriptures and material that you're familiar with, but growing in our love for Him, My life verse is Daniel 11:32b, which says, "For the one who knows their God shall display strength and take action." And so I center in here a good bit, of course, desiring to grow in love and seeking Him. Someone reminded me one time I was making a major decision and trying to discern what God wanted. It was a job situation. And this friend of mine said, "Why don't you just seek God and forget about the question?" And I started doing that, and, you know, the answer came. I quit pounding on Him for the "what should I do?" and just began to seek His face. And it was a spiritual dynamic. Now we have some references. I'm not sure if we're going to have time to look these up or not. Maybe we better keep going and see how well we do. And as we get on through it, if we have time, we'll look some of them up. But these are examples of some of the concepts that I've just described to you in terms of our commitment to the Lord. Following Him, of course, you know of Ruth. You know of Anna, who never left the temple, fasted and prayed. Rebecca, a woman of faith and action. She did have a few problems, but we all do, but she took some steps too. And then our command to love God, to spend time with Him, to delight in Him, and to look to Him for fellowship and companionship, which is along the idea of what I think we've referenced too in the conference, and that is going all the way with God and letting Him completely fulfill our needs. And and He can provide for companionship and fellowship. I don't know about y'all, but the 3 hours yesterday were rich, you know. So you just need to taste that once or twice, and you're satisfied that He can do that. A little bit about establishing your purpose. Some of this material, by the way, is other seminars, and it's kind of pulled together. But as we've mentioned before, if you do have some sort of purpose, some sort of direction, then you've got a framework. It does not confine you. What it does is free you up so that you know where you're coming from. Developing a life purpose, which I'll share with you mine in a minute, is not an easy task. I worked around and about it for probably a couple of years, and then had some material and some scriptures, and finally got away for 2 days and was able to write out a life purpose. But I think there's some significance to doing that. And don't be overwhelmed with that idea, you know, but if the Lord puts it on your heart to verbalize your life purpose and your direction, it's been helpful to me. You have some pages in there on need for personal vision, some scriptures, how to make a personal vision. The fact that planning is essential. Okay, just a little thought here on what happens if you don't. Now, there's also a how-to, you see. What you have to do here, if you decide you're going to do some planning, is get to the details. Actually, that's sort of what it looks like when you first start, because you've got pieces of this in your mind and pieces of that, and it's taking this sort of process that we had yesterday and getting before God and thinking about your own personal unique gifts and talents, and then pulling that together for a plan. And now, as I mentioned, I have a personal plan, a basic life purpose. And I'll read it to you. I didn't make an overhead because it's too busy for that, but it has come out of several scriptures which you'll probably recognize. And that's the way that God led me to come up with this, using various passages. So see what you can recognize as I read it to you. To allow this life to count for Christ and His kingdom by reflecting the reality of His presence and grace to Christians as well as non-Christians. this through faithful obedience to His Word and by accomplishing all the work that God lays on my heart to do, to trust Him with the sufficiency of His grace to help me be obedient in every area, and with the promises of His Word to never leave me or forsake me, so that I am faithful daily to keep biblical priorities, thus developing a devotion in my relationship to Christ first, maintaining committed love-trust relationships within the family of God, and being a source of encouragement to them, and expressing Christ's love to a lost world by building relationships and proclaiming Christ and the gospel message. To be committed that this purpose be carried on by imparting to others spiritual truths and motivating them to faithfulness, to carry out these things with an attitude to labor diligently, forgetting the past and being sensitive to God's leading to press onward and through it all to know Him and be conformed to His image, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then there's some sub-goals there, that mainly that we do this. And I had, of course, of significant importance to me is that I leave this with my son, David. Eternal truths, including salvation, methods of encouragement, discipling, leave people with a desire to serve the Lord, a positive and stable outlook on life based on God's Word and His promises. And then there's the life verse. So this has been helpful. Again, I wouldn't get under the pile if you haven't been led to do something like that, but I will say that it's helped me fit my activities and my choices and my decisions into some kind of framework. Goals are a little bit different. They're more specific and would relate then to those sorts of objectives. For example, here are some elements of setting goals, that they be written personal specific. But a specific goal, for example, if I want to encourage my son to be interested in the Scriptures, then somewhere on my calendar, I had to put down the time that we would have Bible study and somewhere that I would go get the material, you know, go to the bookstore and buy it. You get right down to the detail, but they do need to be specific and written. and then there are several sheets there to start you thinking if you get interested in that. Some of my 1985 objectives, things I want to learn about, one or two pages there that you're free to look at and use as examples. And then we talked about, of course, in our personal strategy, our own person. And so with personal goals in different areas, you may come up with some specific things that you want to do for your own personal development. Talking about growth in different areas of your life. There's a lot of material out, by the way, to help you to do this. Now, here's an encouragement in Scripture for you that it's appropriate to be intelligent and beautiful in appearance. So if you want to increase your intellectual arena, that would be perfectly appropriate for you to do. And it's appropriate for you to look okay, too. Okay. You can do those sorts of things. Wardrobe. All kinds of seminars on that. But as I began to look at, again, these specific areas, these were the encouraging things to me. Now we're back to Esther. It's been interesting to me how some of our seminars have been integrated, especially on some of the key ideas. This isn't exactly what Elizabeth Ann was talking about when she was talking about the beauty treatments that Esther underwent. But I'll tell you what it did for me. When I found that passage in the Scripture, I went out and spent $100 on cosmetics. And I felt perfectly free to do it. And I kept going around. I said, I would go to these different places, and I said, do you have any oil of myrrh? And, and I said, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I never found any. If you find any, let me know where it is. So I think we do have some support there from the Scriptures in these areas. Okay, just refresh us again on what we're about. Strategy. We want to develop the science or art of skillful planning and action so as to place us in a position of advantage in the next area, our interpersonal area. So we have some interpersonal strategies. And here we want to talk about these things, our social growth, our commitment, friendship, sharing, communication, corporate body life, one anothering, the umbrella, the authority structures that God has for us as single women, and we need them, and He has provision. And it's kind of interesting when you avail yourself to what He shows you, and just the interpersonal dynamics, the issues of relating to people. I was last week, I was on the cruise that Chuck Swindoll had out and down into the Caribbean, and Lucy Swindoll was on there. And you probably are aware that she has spoken to several singles conferences and groups. And I asked her, I said, now, give me one or two ideas, Lucy, that you always communicate to singles that seem to really hit or make an impression or whatever. And she said, well, there are two things. One is that singles tend to hold back. They won't be committed. That's what we're talking about right here. Won't be committed to people. They won't be committed to things. They won't get involved, okay, because they're waiting on their boyfriend. They won't go out to a nice restaurant because they're waiting on their boyfriend. Or, you know, we're always waiting for our house to get clean before we'll invite someone over. Okay? So the encouragement here is, you know, once God gives you some directions and some goals and where He wants to go for it and get into it and get involved and be committed. We need to be committed anyway, but just because we're Christians. But I think singles have a tougher time just making firm commitments to either people or activities or whatever it is, discipline. Particularly, we need friendships. We need to be sharing our lives and communicating. You had a seminar on effective communications. We won't cover much of that. Corporate body life. Again, as I started walking with the Lord and living the Christian life as a single parent, I would say the most important aspect now, but particularly then, was the local body, the involvement in the local body, the supportive friendships, not just with singles, but with families. A lot of integration with the families in the church. I was in a church where the leadership was available to us, and they were available to be for counsel, for accountability, for some of these ideas. They were available to help me make decisions. In my case, I was raising a son, and I didn't know I had to make certain decisions, take him out of private school, or should we buy a house or rent an apartment. Those kinds of things were helpful to me. But just to say that God has provided at least the church for us as single women in this area of corporate body life and our umbrellas and our authority structures. And I avail myself to that. And usually I'll get a multitude of counsel and filter it all before the Lord. And when I really find a consensus with what God seems to be saying and the counsel I'm getting, I feel real good. And I'll make a decision on that basis. Okay, a little bit about communications. I think we'll have the verse in just a minute on what I think is the key verse on interpersonal dynamics. You like that one? Is that what happens a lot? Nobody believes this. Yes, I am a Christian. Get out of the way. All right. Okay, and then, of course, what we say. Then you'll have a list there of our one anothering, at least 12 of them. They're more than that. These came out of Gene Getz's book, Building Up One Another. And we've done that in some singles Bible studies, incidentally. And it's very helpful in our edification. Okay, let's look at some more examples. You with me in the handout? Okay. Ruth, back to Ruth, chapter 2. Will someone look that up? And also chapter 3. Because we're talking here about the idea that we have people with us as we manage being single. 19 through 23. Anyone have that? Would read it? I can't get to my... get everything out here to my Bible.
Now her mother in law then said to her, "Where did you be today and where did you work? Maybe you took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother in law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter in law, "May he be blessed for the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness from the living and from the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "This man is our relative, but he is one of our closest relatives."
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
And then Ruth, the Moabite, said, "Furthermore, you said to me, 'You should stay close to my folk until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maid, lest others fall upon you in another field.' So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz, according to me, until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law."
All right. The idea from that, that one of the things that was pointed out to me when I read that was that there was talking. They were talking to each other. There was communication about how did your day go and what did you do and just the general things. Now, a lot of times as singles, you know, we do deal with loneliness and we do deal with a sense of lack of companionship at times. And so I think God's provision for us, again, is in the family and with our friends, but you can't carry that out if you don't talk to each other. You know, if you, I don't know if you're living with roommates or whatever, but if you just go home and go in your room, that won't work. You need to be interacting about life. She followed counsel. 3:5. Anyone have that?
"And she said to her, 'All that you say I will do.'"
Okay. So we have a submissive spirit, which we also, you remember we talked about in Esther too. We won't look those up, but in obeying Mordecai and following Haggai's suggestions, all those things counted. And so I think it's important that when God places certain structures in our life, that if we obey, like Elizabeth Ann said, then people will obey us when we are in that position as well. We won't look up the others, but you will notice if you do at home that particularly at difficult times, there were friends were around. People were with Mary and Martha. Friends were with her in the raising of the widow's son. Also, the injunctions to be a good friend. Now, this is the verse that I think is key on interpersonal relationships. Proverbs 3:3-4, "Bind kindness and truth around your neck." And it goes on to say that you'll find favor in the sight of God and man. So hang on to kindness and hang on to truth. Okay. Review again what we're about here. This is an active approach to the single life. We're developing a strategy so that we come out victorious as the enemy comes against us and we live life on the front lines. And we'll look at practical strategies. Now again, as we tried to get our home in order biblically some years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago, I was overwhelmed. The first thing that struck me after I got into a church that had good teaching was that ours wasn't like that. Our home wasn't run that way, and that my son needed some attention, that certain things needed to be put in order, that finances needed to be put in order, a lot of things. And I was just overwhelmed, and then I got bitter and angry because it was just me, and, you know, went through all those dynamics and complained. And the Lord finally said, well, you know, whatever you're trying to figure out is not the way I'm going to show you how to work through this. And and what he did was he started giving me some insight in this area of setting priorities and planning and living a day according to some structure and that involved his priority system. And then I would, when I got to the end of the day, if I was wiped out and I hadn't done everything that I seemed to, you know, need to do, like get the car tuned up or mow the lawn or whatever, if I had gone through one day in his order, I could sleep. That's what I found out, I could sleep. And so that's how I started approaching life, and it became very effective. So I made sure then that in a practical sense, that my spiritual life was in order, that my quiet times were in order, and I don't just fall apart if I miss one. But in a consistent way, my life with God is in order. Our family unit, which was me and my son, and all those areas, the church family, the needs there, and then just discipline. I'm talking about the discipline of doing what you need to do in a day. If you have a job, you need to go to it. Don't stay home. And you know, if you have a schedule to meet, you need to meet it. And work. Action plans help. So what we're really talking about here, how to survive being alive. We may have time for questions. We're doing okay, I think. Which I would like to have some time for that. Life is a series of obstacles. You believe that? I'll share two with you, and again it's this idea of what Elizabeth Ann has said before. All these do is reveal us. That's all they do. How we manage them, how we cope with them. The first obstacle I had this week was when I arrived and my luggage wasn't here, and so that's not uncommon, but it is, you know, disturbing. And so I thought, well, now wait, am I going to really wipe out over this, or am I going to just get mentally ready to wear the same outfit all week? You know? Now that's the worst. The worst case is I don't get it, and so I could wash every other night, and you know. And as I was kind of working through that, it did arrive, obviously. But as I was working through that, it came to my mind that it was that how I was responding to this obstacle was the key thing that was going on, not what was happening. And then some of you know, and I'll share with others of you, just this morning, there was an obstacle in that my mother has had a massive stroke about 9 weeks ago. And she was in a deep coma for a while, and she's now semi-comatose. And we've been through a series of events, but have taken her home and have some live-ins and some nursing care there. And, I toyed with not even coming at this time, but the Lord didn't give me that direction. So I was led to move on with the plans that I had already on the calendar anyway. And so this morning I got a call from home, or a message to call home. And, of course, I really thought they would not call me unless she had died, because I knew I'm coming home tomorrow. And so I really thought that's what it was. And I was by myself, and I thought, well, am I going to call right now, or am I going to wait till I find a friend? Because I don't think I want to be exactly alone, you know, if that's what's happened. It hasn't happened. She's had a downturn and pneumonia, which, of course, is not good. But the same idea came to me again, that this is a circumstance, and the key is going to be how I respond in it, not what's going on. And so I just got before the Lord, and it sounds oversimplified, but I said, Lord, I trust you with what's happening. I simply trust you. I don't, I really don't know what's going on in terms of just how the situation is, except that it's, you know, she's turning downward. But as soon as I dealt with it that way, then there was a difference, you know. And so it really is in his hands. So, but we're going to have a lot of them, y'all. If you haven't already, you will. So be attuned to how you're responding. How you like this one? This doesn't apply to y'all so much, but it does in a lot of groups. Right, Mary Lee? We thought they were extinct. There's an article in there for you by Jean Getz on single parents. Again, that doesn't apply to you. There will be another one at the end that will be helpful to you. But you may know some single parents, and this is very encouraging and contains some of the same ideas we've just talked about. Encouragements to you as a single woman. You can still look, even though this is talking about the excellent wife, you can still look well to the ways of your household. In other words, you can keep your apartment in order and not be idle. And so get involved in your home situation, whatever it is. Another same passage that we all know, but strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And I want to camp a minute on this, and that is that we have, and we reflect. Again, like Elizabeth Ann was saying, you know, we need to be radiant for Christ where we are in our status. And we need to be anticipating with joy the future. We need to be smiling at the future with what God has in store. It's always exciting to me because I never know, you know, from one day to the next. And so I think if we express and reflect that kind of attitude to the people around us, especially being single, that it will have an impact for the cause of Christ. So, and we need to be strong. But particularly, I like the idea of smiling at the future. If you're single, you may have, or not necessarily single, but you may have some trouble with the basics of finances. And this was another area that through counsel, through availing myself to the structure in my church and accountability, it was a deep problem area. A long time, of course, before I was a Christian, and after I became a Christian, began to see truth in this area, and I knew I was way. It was here, and I was here. If you're not familiar with the principles about finances in the Scripture, or if you're having trouble, I would encourage you as a single person to spend some time learning what the Bible has to say and applying it. For one main reason, it affects your spiritual growth. So if you have a yearning to grow in your understanding of God and His ways, then this is an area that I feel is important. Singles spend a lot of money right here, a lot of money, clothing. I would just, you know, take a look at some of your budgeting maybe, and you might want to revamp some of it and look at your giving patterns. And a lot of this applies to anyone, but if you don't have any idea at all about how to tackle this, I'll just show you this one idea. And it's one of many, but if you're wondering how to spend your money, this 10-70-20 plan, if you have some debt that you want to get out of, that you should get out of, then you can allocate something like this. Of course, your tithing and your taxes come off the top, and then you have some working money left. And if you take 10% of your working money and apply it to savings and investments, you'll begin to grow some. Get your lifestyle down to where you can handle it within 70% of your working money, no matter what that is. And for me, at one point, it meant reducing my lifestyle, just coming down so I could have some kind of guideline that worked. And then use 20% to pay off the debt. And once you get out of it, begin to use it for a buffer fund, because what happens to us singles? Our cars break down. Our insurance comes due. All these little things that we need to have some kind of buffer. So those are just a few words on finances. Here's another one for your enjoyment. These didn't come out too good, but your dishpan's hand, sometimes you feel like you're doing that all for yourself, but if you do have, if you are hospitable and you have people over, you can be thankful that you got dishes to wash. And fulfillment. Can you see that? Yes, I think the interior decorating reflects the true me. Now, I've, you know, once or twice seen my apartment look that way too, but you may want to consider tackling your interior design. A couple of other sheets there that just sort of outline for you what how I've spread my life out, my involvements. My 1985 verse is, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." I think we heard that last night too, but it's sure a favorite verse of mine. And it allows us to smile at the future, right? Those are just the different areas of my own life of which I do have specific goals and schedules. And then the next page, don't let it overwhelm you, but one of the creative ways that God told me that he was going to help me resolve my situation was that he would work, in, as I said, in this area of priorities and planning and how to get everything taken care of, that we as one person, usually there are two doing it. See, that was my complaint. Lord, there's usually two doing this, and there's only one. And there's one that has to pay the income taxes and pay the bills and get the car done, which is one of my worst things. I hate it. That sheet just shows how I kind of put down what I had to do every week and every month and every quarter and every 6 months and every, you know, once a year. So while the list on the annual side is pretty long, don't forget it's just once a year. So it's not that overwhelming. But it helped me keep track of what I had to do in life. In getting through a day on the practical side of things. And a few more verses which we won't look up either. But again, from Ruth, she certainly did provide for her household, and so as singles, I tried one time not to work, but it didn't work. You know? So I figured, well, I guess I'm going to work. So you need to make provision, and if you're a single parent, of course, right now I'm committed to getting my son through college, so we have that responsibility. We need to love children and to allow God to supply to you and through you. And that's a great story if you ever want to look it up. In 1 Kings 17, the widow and her son, and no food, no job, no money, no husband, and a sick child. And it's encouraging to see what God did in that situation. Now we're going to move into professional strategies. And I don't know, let's see if I can find out kind of how many of you how many of you are on NASDAQ, first of all? Okay. How many just work in a business of some kind and just outside or teach or something? And how about any of you have your own business? Okay. I think that it's appropriate to give some attention to where we're going, as long as we're going to be working and in some sort of corporate setting or business and so forth. So the thing that I want to emphasize here is that we keep it in proper perspective, that we see it as a stewardship issue of our talents and gifts, which was something that God used in my life, because what happened was I got under good Bible teaching, and my job, which is in computers, before I became a Christian, had an inappropriate place in my life, and God showed me that when I came to the Lord. And so, you need to go. I'm glad you came. Okay. He worked on getting that into a proper perspective, and but it took a while. So I went through a period where, well, I'm just going to give it all up. I'm laying this down, and that's not what I'm supposed to do, and so forth. Well, the fact is, I had several years of training, and at the conference this week, we're sort of networking because we're meeting people that we can call later and see, well, how are you doing this and how are you doing that? So it's a method of mainly just having contacts around the country, around the world. Here's some more encouragement for you. Deborah, I think we had her on our Women in Leadership class the other day. We got some real estate people in here. I know one. So the Lord might lead you to buy some property or to do some investing in that area as well. And so I would be open to that as a single person. And then if you are in business for yourself, as I am, as a consultant, then you might want to spend just a little bit of money and do a minimal amount of marketing or PR, cards and flyers and so forth. If you get involved in some specialized ministry types of things, you may want to do that. But it doesn't take much to just have some flyers made up for your professional associations. Now, let's look at some scriptures on that in that area. I think we have time. About our work and the idea of industry. We won't look back into Genesis, but let's see. Let's take Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Ecclesiastes, somebody just picked these. 9 and 10. Somebody take the two Proverbs, 13 and 14. Somebody take the two, 21, the two on diligence, and the one on industry. Somebody take that one. Y'all figure out how to do that. Give you a minute there. See you, okay. Anybody have Ephesians? Go.
Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, render service
unto
the Lord and not to men.
Wow. See, that says it all about our relationships as employees. Not just what we do, but what's going on inside and our attitudes. And have I grappled with that over the years? A lot of times I would go ahead and do it, but what was going on inside was surely not lined up with that. But we do need to be good employees. Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might.
Yeah, I like that. I think I read that in context one time and it didn't sound as good. But anyway, allow me the privilege to take that one out because I like it. And what it does for me is especially now with the framework of a purpose and plans and goals, when something surfaces, God brings something to my attention, then I can really get into it. You know, and a lot of times he'll bring that verse to my mind, whatever thy hand finds to do, do thou with all thy might. And all right, then how about Proverbs, the ones on wealth there? Anybody have those? Go ahead.
Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, the profitless and the diminished.
All right. So, definite encouragement. We won't deal with so much what the profit and the wealth and all that, the implications of that, but it does encourage you to work. It says if you'll labor, that there will be profit and there will be benefits. Let me put it that way. If you'll work and be diligent. Who has those?
21:5. The plans of the diligent lead truly to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied.
Good. There are several others too on diligence, but I think it's a quality as singles that we really need to have in our lives. We need to be diligent about what God has us doing. And he gives us encouragement there too, that we'll prosper. And one of those said, didn't it say the soul of the diligent will prosper? So if you need your soul to prosper, be diligent at something. And be industrious. Proverbs 6. I know you know this one. Who has that? Go ahead.
Go to the anthill, sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man.
Good. Any question about our need to be industrious? And those have really meant something to me at different points in my life when I would have tendencies to be the opposite. All right, now let's get into what we're about anyway, and that is to have an impact. So we need some strategies to leave our mark and to be God's women, to be the women of God, the women of the Word that God wants us to be. All, and there's another seminar going on right now on opportunities to serve, but there's no lack. I mean, those of you who are in Christian service can tell us. There's no lack of opportunity, right? The harvest is plenty. What we need to do, especially, I think, as single women, is be about the business of having an impact of the work of God, because we have resources. We have a lot. It's amazing to me that church leaderships often don't see the resources in singles. And in this sense, I'm talking about the guys too. But for the most part, we're freer to be mobile. We have finances that we can offer. We aren't constrained by some of the things that the marriage are, you know, like, and that's what Paul is speaking to. I got involved at the singles group in the church I'm in right now, which is in Columbia, South Carolina. And there are a handful, 20 or 30 singles, who really want to have a ministry within the church and outside too. This is a PCA church, and so we're thinking about doing something for the singles in the PCA group there in Columbia. But anyway, I went to my pastor and I asked him, I said, what do you envision they hadn't had much of a singles ministry. I said, what do you envision the singles doing? What do you envision the singles ministry in this church doing? We call it single element in action. And it was very strange to me that he had not even thought about that. Not that he's not behind us in what we're doing, but it never occurred to him to have a vision for what the singles could do in that church and in the community. And so he thought for a minute, and he said, well, he came up with a few things he didn't want it to be. He didn't want it to be a social club, and I sure agreed with that. So then I began to bounce ideas to him. I said, well, you know, how about, first of all, if we are a ministry, that we minister to the families and that we reach out into this congregation, and which I think it's important for singles to do that, and use our gifts. And as soon as I started bouncing ideas off of him, that was, he was moving along with it. But I think that a lot of churches don't see the resources for singles. And so we need to be about what God wants to do with us and using our gift. Now here's that word. I think we've heard it 30 times in the conference, right? Availability. To find your life, you must lose it. That's another verse that God uses with me so much. And if you're really grappling with being unfulfilled or undirected or dissatisfied or discontent, you need to be giving your life away. You need to be so available to God with each day that He can take it and just move you along. So in tune with Him, because why? You're abiding. You're living the vine life. And so I concur that this is the key thing that maybe come out of this conference is our availability. And I can just share from my own experience. If you will make yourself completely available to God, no strings, no reservations, no what ifs, that He will use you. That He will make you content. He'll make you happy, even when you don't want to be happy and you'd rather get out. And you can have an influence on the people that are around you. Now, you can do that within the church family, if that's where He's wanting you to work, or certainly outside the church family, and bringing the lost, being in an evangelistic type setting, in your professional settings, and in, of course, your neighborhood. Here's some more scriptures. What do we need to be available to do? If we're going to be available, then, you know, what are some things that God would have us to do? Well, to open our mouth in wisdom and to teach kindness. You know, part of what comes out of your Bible study and your prayer life and your fasting is that when the need arises, then you have the wisdom of God to share with someone. Or just like in our family situation right now, because of one brother and myself, or particularly have been walking with the Lord for about 10 years, when we had to come make major decisions about my mother, we had the wisdom of God already. We were sort of prayed up. You know that idea? So you never know when you're going to need it. So... here's our favorite verse for the conference. See, none of us talk to each other, by the way, that I know of. I didn't talk with anyone. But guess what? If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. So, like Elizabeth Ann has been saying, if you don't do it, He'll get it done. And why not be a part of it? You know, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And I'm convinced again, as we've been through this conference this week, that this is a unique time for women. It's really, it's a sense of timing and happening and goings on. And we need to be in tune with God, really in tune, so that when he says, you know, this to you and so forth, that we're right on track and we don't hesitate. No hesitation. Go in obedience and faith and trusting him. So it's on my heart too to challenge you with that idea. Be just so available and so in tune that at a moment's notice you're off in something about the cause of the kingdom. Now you can also contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality, ways to have an impact. And if God brings needs to your heart, surely I would be obedient in that, and I would be obedient in this idea of practicing hospitality. Not only for the, I know probably a lot of you open up your homes when missionaries come and have them in, and that's good too, but just in general, having such an open home. My brother, my baby brother, who is a Christian, and his wife, both seem to have a real heart for hospitality, and the Lord put them together and marriage about 6 or 7 years ago. And I don't think I have to make a reservation when I want to go home. You know, I call up and say, well, can I have a room? Because there is always someone. There are always people at their home. And they've kept my son a lot. In fact, he's with them now. You know, but it's such an open home and such a warmth and hospitable atmosphere that it's a real ministry and a real encouragement for the family of God. So you don't have any need to feel lonely or unused or anything like that. Just go ahead and get into it. Okay? And you can give sacrificially. When you think you're all out, just, you know, drained emotionally, spiritually, financially, and you're called to give more, I would encourage you to do that. Because God will supply whatever you need. And it's a spiritual dynamic, so I can't really explain it, but you seem to get new strength. You've experienced that? When you're just all out, all gone, and there's one more thing you need to attend to or one more person you need to talk with, and you proceed, something happens, and you get new strength. And we had Dorcas the other day, too, abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, in which she continually did. You notice there that there was consistency in that. It wasn't once every 6 months or when I feel like it, but which is another idea I haven't talked about today, but I think we need consistency to be a part of our quality of life, that we need to be consistent people, that people can depend on how we're going to respond and how we're going to approach life. All right, here's a great one for you. You're going to love this one. It's 6811, not 116. I didn't check all these out, but I checked that one out and figured out there weren't 116 verses. And the women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. So, we have good tidings to proclaim. You like that one? It may be out of context too, but I really liked it. B? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I bet you're right. It came out of 6. It was 11B. Good. Okay. Again, some examples that we've all looked at. Speaking about Jesus, that's not a new idea to you, but don't let it be so familiar that you forget it. You know. And of course, Anna did that. Dorcas. Philip's daughters, the sacrificial giving of the widow, and then the bearing fruit in John 15. Mary Lee Evans had to leave just a minute ago at noontime. But anyway, we just met on this conference. And the Lord, she's single, and the Lord has put it on her heart, too, that we need to get our message, get what God's putting on her on our hearts out more. And so we yesterday afternoon, we went up to Dawson's grave, and we had some time of prayer and looking into the Word. And we really didn't know where to start. We just knew that that God seems to be speaking to both you know, each of us, and maybe would have something that we might do together later. That's about as much insight as we have at this point. So we act on the light you get, you know, and then you'll get more. So we went up and we said, well, wonder what we could study while we're apart. We don't know how long that'll be. And see how God would lead through a study that we would each do individually, but we'd correspond about it. And we chose John chapter 15. And we're going to do a very in-depth study of that chapter, probably for the next 4, 5, 6 months, and correspond with each other and see where that leads us, too, because, you know, we're liable to be all over the Bible by the time we get through. But we're going to ask him to show us maybe some things that are on his heart about a ministry that we might have individually or we might have together as it relates to single women. You might be praying about that. But we are called to bear fruit and to carry out ministries. And there's no option. I've never seen any option about exercising your gifts. And if you know what they are, I'm talking about your spiritual gifts now. If you know what they are, and that's the reason I found out what mine were, because it said don't exercise them. And I thought, well, now how am I going to do that, you know, if I don't know? That's not that I didn't lose a lot of sleep over it, but I did give some attention to finding out. And, again, practicing hospitality. Now, here's a summary, and then we'll have some... Good, I wanted some time for questions. This is how God has helped me enjoy being a single woman. And I really do enjoy it. And by the way, I'm open to marriage, too. I don't want to bring that, you know, either way. But I can tell you that he's brought me to a point that I am excited about what he's doing and having fun as a single. Know your God. Carry out your responsibilities. Be women of who are responsible. Make and keep good friends. If that's hard to do, I encourage you to start working on that. I have a handful that are your no matter what types, and it's just adds so much strength to your life. It allows you to go forth and do things. Be accountable. Look for God's umbrellas and authorities, and he'll have some. He'll have some in our work situations and in our church situations. And be sensitive to how he's leading through them. And then serve. And go all the way with God, as Ann was saying earlier. That's what we want to do, really. Sold out. Completely available for whatever he has. So, and there is an article at the end called Don't Single Yourself Out by Nancy DeMoss. You may know of her, but that's a good article. It talks about commitment, where to put your energies to be involved. So, what I would like to do is open it up for discussion or questions, because we had to fly through some of this. I wasn't even sure we'd make it. Did we go too fast? Huh? Okay. Thoughts, questions, comments, anything, any struggles you want to know about that I've walked through?
I'd be interested in what you think about single women living by themselves or together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't have that situation myself, but sometimes when our grads go out, it's hard to know. Should I encourage them? I mean, I usually have encouraged them to live with someone.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel we can kind of get set in our ways if we live alone.
Good point. And I think that's the major benefit of living with someone else. I think, though, it's probably like a lot of other areas in that there are seasons and there are times in which we would want to be with a roommate or have someone. There have been times when I have wanted that since my son is gone, just for the companionship. And, of course, you know, as iron sharpens iron, too, all the good things that promotes. But I find living alone is perfectly acceptable for me, and I don't grapple a lot with that fact. So I would be sensitive to more or less the circumstance and the situation. Is the person at a point in their life where they sort of might need to walk alone with God, and just to, 'cause, you know, we, like you were saying last night, there's only so much that people can fill. And, you know, there's still, like the thermos, there's still just a little bit of leakage. And so when it gets down to the bottom line, I mean, after all, it's us and the Lord, you know. So, and some people need to learn that, and they're afraid to live alone. And if they're afraid to live alone and to be alone with God, I would say try it out for 6 months. Does that make sense? I don't think it could be necessarily all black and white. Kind of depend on what's happening.
Could you explain a little bit more? You have a sheet in here that talks about setting priorities for different areas in your life. It's kind of a worksheet part.
Yeah. It's right after your first plan. Right after that. The priority structure that I settled in on, and there are several that are taught, I guess you'd say.
You want to have some space for writing down opportunities, possibilities.
It says area, mental, physical, spiritual, social. All right, this would be as you're developing some of your goals. And your goals, you know, would relate to your objectives, and then you would carry them out in order of a priority structure in terms of your relationship with the Lord being your central priority, and then your relationship to the family of God, to your own family, and then your relationships to activities and events and so forth. This is a sheet to help you perhaps develop some direction and some goals in these different areas, okay? And so you can just use it as a worksheet, and then that priority, that's what you're asking about, what does that priority mean? If it is something that, let's say, would relate to taking God's priority structure, your relationship with Him, okay, you're familiar with stream of consciousness thinking, and you just start writing down everything that comes to your mind. And then you begin to organize it. And so you would put an A, if it was in the very highest priority category on that item, you would put an A on that. And let's say it took 3 steps to do it. Okay? Then you would number those so that you begin to tackle your goals and your to-do list, which it finally boils down to being. You tackle them in some sense of order, according to the priority and the sequence that you need to. Does that make sense? Okay. And those are just some different areas of life that you can set goals in. It's kind of fun to see where you end up. I do a 5-year plan, and then I do a 1-year plan. And I'm about at the end. And I've only done the 5-year plan once, so you can figure out when I started into this. And so I'm going to be evaluating the end of this year. Well, where did I get? You know, I didn't learn to fly yet, but I might carry that over. Okay, did that help? Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Can you explain your weekly schedule, especially since you have a son, of working and your ministry and your time alone with God and raising your son?
Okay. That's what was so overwhelming a few years ago. Well, again, I looked at it this way. First of all, my time with God is first. And if nothing else happens in the day, and I say that to say that, you know, I don't fall apart if I lose one, but that does have a high priority. And so that means I do get up early for that. And I work, I'm a consultant, and I work 70 miles from where I live. So I drive to it's a nuclear facility. And during that time, and I consider the work in the priority system as part of my responsibility to my son. So therefore, it's not that the work itself is up number two here in the list. It's that it's my responsibility. He just finished his freshman year at Columbia Bible College, and we've got another year there, and then probably he's thinking about going to Wheaton. So it's that I've got a responsibility. So there's nothing else except to go to work. So there's your 8 hours, okay, for that. And then since he is in college, I don't have quite the responsibilities, and he lives on campus. So I don't have quite the responsibilities to him except when he needs to talk. And I'm just very sensitive to that. And if he comes over and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and he wants to talk about what he's going to do with his life, then I get up and we talk. So that's how I fit that in. And so I have the evenings and the weekends for the ministry involvements. And does that help?
Yeah, I just changed careers from a real flexible one where I had tons of time to one where I'm locking 5 days a week and mowing the lawn and taking care of the house and really consumed me. Wonderful ministries that the Lord brought to me. And it was a real challenge, maybe it's because I'm learning a new job too, to fit it all in and provide the strength and everything to do it. But I thought, what is normal?
Well, you're pretty close. You're pretty close. I'll, you know, keep your relationship with the Lord intact. And then make sure they're not needs, that needs are not being unmet that God brings to your attention in the family of God. You know, and along with that, yeah, you would have your work. But the next thing I would take care of, is there a need that I need to be involved in ministering to and take care of that. Just kind of go right down the...
Well, what happened is I wasn't able to take care of the house or anything because I am really involved in ministry. And the Lord just brought this darling little girl to live with me who just loves taking care of the house.
I see that. That's so exciting. I'm sorry I did not and forgot to share some of the ways that he'll handle these, you know, overwhelming situations. But he'll do that so many times. I'll solve it for you.
I know one of your lists that you listed maize and yard. And could you share, this is a very poignant thing to me, could you share how you get a maize, and do you use it just when you're living in a larger situation, or do you use it for your apartment now?
Right. I don't now. That particular sheet is from a couple of years ago, and it was at a time where, again, I couldn't do it all. And what God reminded me was that I didn't really have to do it all, but I had to be responsible that it was done. And so I would figure out, well, the house needs to be in order, that's for sure. I'm just responsible that it's in order. I don't have to do it. And if I can't, then I can hire someone. So I don't now. I have a small apartment now, and it's very manageable. And yes, I did have somebody do the yard. That was when I had a house.
I'm making an assumption that at some point in the last several years you changed jobs, but you haven't always been a consultant in that.
Right. Yeah.
The situation I'm in right now, my work setting is such that it's taking a great deal of emotional energy that I used to be able to have from my ministry. Do you have any thoughts about when you decide to change professionally? This may have ramifications as far as education, not necessarily.
I'll share what some of my struggles with that. And I was have been in corporate settings. I worked both for Blue Cross and Blue Shield and for IBM, and both of them own part of you if you work for them, and that's rightfully so. Part of it's right. 20 hours a day isn't right, but I grappled with that because, you know, I had have a heart to be involved in ministry situations, and I kept thinking that it was going to be either or. Either I was be in full-time Christian work or I would be in what you're doing, you know, so forth. And in the last few years, the Lord has began to say, well, why are you thinking either or? Why don't you think both and? And let there be a blend. Use your same talents and skills, and you got to fund it some way. And right now, my main financial responsibility is my son, but beyond that, then, you know, we're free to really be flexible. But that's when consulting came to my mind, and I decided that the way that God wanted to use me right now, being involved in a corporate setting, would not allow the flexibility. And so I began to pray. I said, Lord, you put something here together that I haven't figured out because I don't know what it looks like, but it doesn't look like what's happening. And so he did. He just opened up different situations and different doors. But if it's, I hate to use the word unreasonable because there are times when even it's unreasonable and the Lord wants you to be there. But if it's really, let it pass the test of time. I don't know how long you've been struggling, but give it a little bit more time. And if God is really saying that there are too many demands here, then he may want to change you. You're in the computer business too, and so it's not unusual anymore. You're not job hopping. If you stay a place 2 years and go somewhere else, it used to be bad news, but it's kind of frequent. Does that help?
Probably the other thought with that, I've created about 20 applications in the last year to move for the division that I've had, and I'm still there. I didn't get any. Owen wanted me. But the Lord laid it on my heart, the people I was in contact with,
mm-hmm.
and they were really unique people, and evidently I'm supposed to be there because of the contact that I had with people. Sometimes I think, well, you think of outside my work situation as to our contact, in our work situation, our room.
Yeah, and so that's what you'll need to really look at. Okay, it's been fun. Let me pray and we'll dismiss. Lord, thanks again for what you've done in our lives and for the position and status that you have us in. Lord, it's really my heart's desire and earnest and fervent prayer that we become radiant women for you who are available to you, who go all the way with God. And I pray, Father, that you'll give us the insights and the motivations and the help. And I know that you'll provide your grace and that it's sufficient to do this with you, Father, to cooperate with you and to go forth for the cause of the kingdom of Christ in his name. Amen. You hungry?
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Now, how do I get out of this? I'll hook it all, I guess. Oh, he does?
I wonder what was going on.
I think there's a tape room down there, and I was in there the other day, and I'm not sure about it.
Yeah.